And God, I pray this morning, Lord, as we open up your word, that again, that you do your perfect work in our hearts. Lord, we know that your word is perfect. God, cause us, Lord, to receive it. Cause us not to just hear it today, but cause us, Lord, to put it in practice. God, you've called us to be doers, not just those that hear. And so, Father, I just ask, Lord, you just have your way in each and every one of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a break from Romans. And I appreciate last week I was able to go preach at a church that I consider a church that's close to us, Macomb Christian, which is at 22 Mile Road in Shaner. And the reason why I went to preach, it sounds weird, was just that Pastor Andy, because of righteous stands, have lost most of his staff at his church. And he has not had time off in a long time. And it was at a pastor's prayer where I said to him, listen, Andy, we have men that can be equipped and are equipped that preach at our church and that rotate in and out of our pulpit. I said, so if you ever need somebody to fill your pulpit, I'd be more than willing to come and do that. And many remember when we moved here and built out this building, it was Macomb Christian that allowed us to meet there for 2 months. Didn't charge us anything, allowed us to go there. And actually, their sound people worked with our sound people for some time. And I mean, they just loved on us during that time. And Andy's been someone that I've really respected over the years and is a true brother to me. We pray about 47 weeks out of the year together on Mondays. And so I went there, and usually when I've went to churches or to a place to speak, often I'm just told, hey, whatever God puts on your heart. But this time they were in the middle of a series, and Andy said, listen, I really want you to preach this part on God the Faithful. And it wasn't a canned series. There were some verses that they gave me, but I was able to write a sermon at that time. And I was going to save this and put it aside. And as I preached it there, two services, it was just like, this is so timely, I believe, in everybody's life here. And it would be good for us to hear this sermon. So this is the sermon I'm going to preach this morning. It's called God the Faithful. How many of you here like things that are consistent? I mean, I think if we're honest, everybody here would say, yes, I love things that are consistent. I'll give you an example. For this Thanksgiving dinner, how many of you like that jelly fake cranberry sauce that comes in a can, ocean spray, it comes out in a glob, and then you slice it up? I love that. It's always consistent. In fact, I've been known to buy it other times than just Thanksgiving. Up at our deer camp, it's a staple in the cupboard. And I like that because it's consistent. I've had cranberry sauce at Kroger's before where it's been just a little bit off from last time that I got it. And then, you know, it just seems like it's never the same, but that gloop is always the same. And it's just awesome to me. Another thing I think about that's consistent is I was thinking about this, is these shoes. I love Clark shoes, and I have several pairs of Clark shoes. And one thing I know about Clark's, I have a pair I wear to work, I have a couple pair that I wear to church and throughout the week, is Clark shoes are consistent. My feet, I can wear them all day long, and they don't ache at the end of the day. But we all like things that are consistent, every one of us. And I want you to think about this. What is the most consistent thing in your life? We can, what did you say, Denny? It should be Jesus, right? And there again, understanding that God should be at the center of everything in our life. I thought at first he said Chevy. And I'm thinking to myself, he's a Ford guy because I've seen his truck, you know, flip over, read directions, you know. But again, there's things that we like because they're consistent, but one thing that we can count on is our God is consistent. In fact, the word that is used in Scripture is our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. See, we serve a God that keeps His promises. He keeps His commitments. And the Psalms it's filled with God's declaration of His faithfulness. He points it out even in His creation. There are things that are constant. How many know that the North Star is constant? It's there every night, whether you can see it or not. The North Star is consistent. And how many know that God placed that where it is? And He causes that star to light up every night. How many know that in God's creation that the sun is consistent? It rises and it sets every day. Our timetable's a little different, but it's consistent. God is consistent. God is faithful. We know that God has been faithful in His promises to Israel time and time and time again in the Old Testament. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says that God keeps His promises for 1,000 generations. Think about that. And He's talking to the children of Israel, but God's character is the same. He keeps His promises for 1,000 generations. God is faithful. And something that I want us to really cling on to in this message is this. We know that God is faithful, but how many realize that God has called us to be faithful also? How many know that everything that you have is God's? I stand here this morning, I preach this message because God has given me the air in my lungs. So God has called us to be faithful. What is that word faithfulness, or what is that word faithful? What does it mean? And in the Hebrew, it means to be one that is steadfast, one that is unwavering. Is that a description of you? One that is unwavering. We know that God doesn't have to work at being faithful because it's one of His attributes. But God wants us to work. Look and see what His word has to say about us being faithful. Faithful also means the sense of believing. How many believe what God says is going to happen? Faithfulness also means this in the Greek, to be trustworthy. To be trustworthy. Our God is trustworthy. Does He find us trustworthy? And we're going to look at some examples in the New Testament where God specifically talks of one individual of being somebody that is trustworthy. When God says He's going to do something, He does it, even if it seems impossible. When He says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter if it's something that He spoke in the past, the present, or the future. God is faithful. How many know that God is faithful when we're not? When we're unfaithful, we serve a God that is still faithful. I think about what 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56 says. It says, "Blessed be the Lord. He has given rest to His people Israel according to all He has said. Not one of His good promises He's made through His servant Moses has failed." God's promises will not fail. God is eternally reliable. He's steadfast. He's unwavering because He is the model of faithfulness. It's one of His incredible attributes. In Psalms 89:8, it says this, "Lord God of armies, who is strong like You, Lord, Your faithfulness surrounds You." I love that verse. God's faithfulness surrounds Him. It encompasses Him. It completely is who God is. I don't know if I can say that same thing. But when I read this verse, it reminds me of the old hymn, "Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be." I love that we serve a God that's unchanging. I love that we serve a God that his faithfulness surrounds him, that there is no shadow of turning in our God. How many know that God in his faithfulness, he protects us from evil? In fact, because of his faithfulness, he sets limits on our temptation, Scripture says. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. We also know that Scripture makes it clear that he sanctifies us, that we go through this sanctification process, and God is faithful to be there with us. It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I am sure of this, that he who has started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful to finish what he has started, even in our lives. And I don't know about you, but there's times I need this verse. There's times where I blow it, where my thinking goes sideways, whether it be in a situation where something happens out of left field and you just don't know how to handle it. I serve a God that's sovereign. I serve a God that's faithful. I serve a God that has promised us that he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's who our God is. He's faithful. Faithful. The fact or quality of being true to one's words or commitments as to what one has pledged to do. The fact or quality of being dedicated and steadfast in performing one's duty, working for a cause. Now, these definitions came right out of the old Webster dictionary. I wanted to see what Webster's had to say about faithfulness, about being faithful. The fact or quality of being true to one's word or commitment. How many know somebody that's a person of their word? When they say they're going to do it. They follow through no matter what. And I want you to think about that person in your life. What do they mean to you? Are they a person that you respect? A person that, again, when things go sideways in your life, you can count on? Our God calls us to be faithful. In Psalms 26, it reads this. Psalms 26, verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of the evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence, and I go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. Now, King David here, he pens these words with the realization how much he needs God and how much he needs a God that is faithful. See, what a lot of people don't realize, if you go to Psalms 25, it is David laying out his heart before God because of his sin and what he'd been involved with Bathsheba. David fully understood the sinner that he was. But he also understood that he walked in God's faithfulness. David understood that when he wasn't faithful, that God was. We serve a God that will never leave us or forsake us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it reads this, no temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I want us to see, and you need to see and recognize something in this verse. No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. See, each one of us here, Paul is saying, and he recognizes it, that temptation is going to be a common thing. And I was thinking about this. What is that thing that tempts you? Was it that second piece of pumpkin pie Thursday? Was it buying too much stuff on Black Friday? I often wonder, why do they call it Black Friday? But I'm thinking it's because of the bills that come in a month later. Black Friday? I don't know. I should have looked into that. What is your temptation? Is it something that you just shouldn't have said, or you're about ready to say that you know doesn't glorify God and is not praiseworthy? Or is that temptation, that thing, that dark, deep sin that you battle time and time again that no one knows about? It seems like the enemy plagues your mind over and over. Paul says these things will be common, but he says this, and the good news is God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he'll also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I think about that idea of God making a way. And one person jumped out of the pages of the Bible at me. It was Joseph, who escaped temptation. And how many know that because of that escape of temptation, things didn't seem to work out like it should have worked out when we read the story? But we know our God is faithful. We know our God is sovereign. We know that all things work together for good for those that love him. We see Joseph go from Potiphar's house to the prison. And we see the baker forget completely about him and his plea. God is faithful on the mountaintops. God is faithful in the valleys. God is faithful. He knows nothing else. He does not change. We're going to look at a powerful parable. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 30 here. The parable of the talents, and many of you, maybe you know this, maybe some of you don't know this, but the parable of the talents is actually a parable, and it's a powerful parable that Jesus talks as he's delivering this. It's to the remnant of Israel. And again, I know what we preach here because I know the pastor. We know that Israel is not going to, we have not replaced them. We do not teach that. That is heresy, that God still has a plan for Israel, that we have been grafted in by God's mercy to actually make them jealous, as we've seen in our study in Romans. Praise God for that. And God does have a plan for Israel, for the remnant. If you go to Jeremiah, and I don't have time this morning, Jeremiah 31:31, you'll see that plan and that promise. And remember, that's from a God that says that he keeps his promises for 1,000 generations. God has a plan for them. But I believe this parable also, there's some application here for us that we can look in our lives, and that's what we're going to do with it this morning. But in verse 14, it says this, "For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. To another, 2, and to another, 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he who has an abundance. But from the one who has not, even though what he has will be taken away, and cast into the worthless servant and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So listen, we have this parable here. And as I was looking through this parable, when I was just meditating on it and saying, "God, what do you want to speak to us?" There's 3 things that really came to my mind as far as us being servants of our faithful God. And I was thinking about, what do we do and or what are we doing with the resources that God has given us? I have to tell you something. I've been very convicted about this. Not as far as financial giving or who I'm giving to, but I'm thinking about the resources that God has given me. Again, I believe that God has given us everything. I believe my home has been given to me by God. I believe my car. I believe, again, the ability to come up here and speak, that air in my lungs have been given to him. The ability to go to work and work a 40, 50-hour work week is, again, been given to me by God. My health has been given to me by God. And if we truly believe that, the way I've been convicted is this, is how am I taking care of God's house? How am I taking care of God's car? How am I taking and how am I using those resources for His glory? And maybe it is to you here today, maybe it is a financial thing. Maybe you have this thing that you're just overbuying things and investing too much money in things that just don't matter. But what are we doing with God's resources? For me, it was like, man, it was easy for let my car just get filthy inside and outside and allow some mechanical things just to, it's not a big deal. And I've really been convicted recently of, man, that I say that's God's car, and I believe that, man, I need to take care of God's car a little bit better. How about God's house? Another thing that popped out of this text to me was simply this. So what are we doing with God's resources, but what are we also doing with the giftings that He's given us? See, each one of us is very gifted. We have been given gifts. I was thinking today, Tyler, I watched him go from playing that, Cajon, or what is this thing called again? Cajon, yeah. I've tried playing this. Remember when we came back from COVID for you that came here? Nope, can't do it. I cannot sing and beat that box. I can do it, but it's not pretty. Then I watched him come over here, and I watched him go to the keyboard. And I watched him play on the keyboard. And I think I know to do one thing on that keyboard. It's where you play with the other person. What is that called? Chopsticks. Oh, I can make it through chopsticks, but that's it. You would not like a whole praise time, three songs worth of chopsticks. I'm not gifted that way. But we've seen this morning that there are some people here that are gifted that way. And they use their gifting this morning. Now, another way that I'm not gifted is, man, I just don't like administration. I'm not a good administrator. I thought about this as I said this last week. I'm hoping my boss is not watching because I oversee a $1.5 million budget. Going to work Monday and find out I've been demoted or something. But I'm not. Administration's not my thing. Some of you have the gifting of hospitality here. Boy, you just know how to be a great host. To come alongside of people that really need a touch from God, and God uses you to be that touch. Some of you, you got the gift of teaching. We have teachers in the back room right now that are teaching children that are gifted to be able to plant seeds into their life. We have people that are gifted teachers that come and fill this pulpit. But I'm going to ask you this question. Who's my preachers? Oh, come on. Don't forget the sermon a few weeks ago. Who's my preachers? My Crusoes. This should be everybody's hand raised here. What are we doing with God's gifting? And again, remember, God has given you a gift for the local body of believers that you're in. How are you using that gift? How are you using that gifting? Then I thought another thing. I was thinking, what else is God given us that he's entrusted us with and he's called us to be faithful with? And again, I believe the third thing that's crucial and important is his word. Are we being faithful with God's word? I've shared this with you before. Years ago, when I grew up in a church, we were told to read four chapters a day. And I read my four chapters a day just so my mom wouldn't nag me. Did you read your four chapters today? I'd read it often just like a magazine at the auto shop as you're waiting for your car to be fixed. Oh, I could tell you stories. I could tell you what the Bible said, and I could tell you a lot of things. But it wasn't until I started being faithful with God's word that, man, I just seen my life starting to change in big ways. That I started to see a bigger view of God than I'd ever seen before. Are we being faithful with his word? Are we studying his word? And as Paul said about the Bereans, those that studied extra, that studied more, that made sure that what he was preaching was correct, he applauded the Bereans. Are we being good Bereans? Are we hiding the word of God in our heart? And I don't mean memorization. You've heard me before. I have a good friend. His name is Jim Johnson. Jim is good at memorization. How many of you know that by watching him preach? Or I just wonder if he's preached that message so much he's got it down pat. I don't know. I think he's got a gift. But to hide God's word in his heart, in your heart is truly reading the word of God, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you in that text what and how it should apply to you. It's understanding that God's word is breathing, that it's alive. It's heralding, as we've seen in Romans chapter 10, his word. Hear ye, Jesus Christ has died for you. Hear ye, I have the answer of eternal life. Hear ye, hear ye, I have hope. We see in Colossians 1, verse 2, the Apostle Paul referred to a whole group of believers as faithful brothers and sisters. It says this in Colossians 1, 2, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We also see Apostle Paul talking to another group in Ephesians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to recognize one thing that I recognized as I looked at these verses. There's a key word here, and it says this, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ. In Christ. And we see this repeated again here, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Listen, we will never be faithful until we are in Christ and Christ is in us. This is something that cannot be done by itself. It cannot be done by our own power. In fact, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are we considered faithful? In Ephesians 6:21, we have an individual here. And how many love Bible names? I'm so glad people don't call their kid Boaz and all these other weird different Bible names that we see in Scripture. But here we have this fellow in Ephesians 6:21 that is mentioned. And he says this in verse 21, so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. We sit in pastor's prayer and we pronounce these names. We're supposed to be professionals. Tychicus. I had it right the first time. I'll refer to him as just Tick. Doesn't sound right, does it? See, Tychicus is one of these Bible characters who doesn't receive the real recognition that's due to them. He's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. How many before this morning heard of him or remember hearing of him? Not many, just a small little bit. Just the name that we read. But Tychicus was a guy that we see in Acts 20, verse 4, was with Paul on his third missionary journey. We also see that Tychicus is called, again, we looked at these verses, a dear brother, a faithful servant, a faithful minister in Ephesians 6:21 and Colossians 4:7. He was with Paul during his Roman imprisonment. He was faithful to Jesus Christ. See, he was actually putting himself in harm's way by being with Paul. By being one that would be considered close to Paul. He was trusted because we see that Paul makes it clear, I'm sending him to you to express the purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. We see that in Colossians 4:7-8. He was also known as one that was an encourager. We see that in Ephesians 6:22, which we already looked at. We see that he traveled with Paul to Colossae in Philemon 1:17. And we see that he also went to Crete and was sent there by Paul in Titus 3:12. He was a faithful man. We don't know much about him. He's only mentioned a few times in Scripture, but he was faithful. As I close this morning, I believe now is a time that's crucial that God's children are faithful. We're not easily distracted, that we find ourselves being those that are faithful. And faithfulness is important. It's so important. And I ask you again in closing, how are you being faithful with God's resources? What does that look like in your life? What are you doing with your resources that God has given you? Are you hoarding everything to yourself? Are you not taking care of the things that God has given you? Being a good steward of what He's given you? If you truly believe that He's given you everything? What are you doing with your gifting? Are you just coming to church and not using that gifting? Are you hoarding it to yourself and not allowing it to be used? Listen, this is a church. If you have a gifting and you let me know or you let one of the elders know, we're going to make sure that you're able to use that gifting. And that gifting will be determined. It will be known. And how are you being faithful with His Word? Are you in His Word daily? Bill Ferentz taught a message here about the importance of being in God's Word sometime back. Couple months ago. Are you studying God's Word? Are you hiding God's Word in your heart? Because this is going to be important in the days coming. I told you many times, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is recall Scripture in our time of need. It's amazing how that's happened. How many of you have had that happen? And wasn't that you memorized the Scripture, but in your time of need, the Holy Spirit brought it back to your remembrance. He is faithful. He's good at what He does. As you stand this morning, I want to read a song here. Back in the early 90s, because I remember this was when I went through Bible school. This song was probably sung at every Bible school graduation that year. This was a song I remember being sung at a church dedication where me and Missy attended the church. And how many remember an artist named Steve Green? Now, I'm going to date you. I want to see all the old folks in this room. All right, yeah, all right around my age. Steve Green, man, he could just sing the pipes off of things, couldn't he? I mean, he had a voice, and back then he was big. I went to several of his concerts with Missy and just really enjoyed his ministry. But there was a song that he came out with that the lyrics are just so true and so beautiful, and I'm going to read those to you. And the song was Find Us Faithful. And it says, we're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their life's a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Faithfulness is important. We serve a God that is faithful even when we're not. But God is calling us to be faithful. And especially as I went through this, with our resources, with our giftings, and with the Word of God. See, the thing is this, whether you're a believer or not, one day we're going to answer. We're going to stand before God and we're going to answer for everything we've done and everything we have not done. And I want to be as the first two servants in the parable of the talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. I want those that are coming behind me to know that I was faithful. I want these young guys to say, Pastor Dave was faithful. I want little Lucy to say, Pastor Dave was faithful. Faithfulness is so important. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads as I lead us in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are a faithful God. Again, Lord, that you are a God that never changes, that you are a God that didn't have to learn to be faithful because, God, that is who you are. It's one of your beautiful attributes. But, Father, cause us to be those that are faithful. Cause us, Lord, to look into our lives, just like I had to do when I wrote this sermon, and say, God, am I being faithful with the resources that you've given me? Am I taking care of your car? Am I taking care of your house? Am I taking care of my family? God, am I giving the resources that you've given me to those that are in need? Those things that are going to advance your kingdom. And God, cause us to ask ourselves, are we being faithful with the giftings that you've given us? We've all been uniquely gifted in the body of Christ. In this local body, we all have giftings. Father, cause us to be faithful. Cause us to be those that say, Father, I want to serve you because I love you. Cause me to be faithful with what you've given me. And Father, cause us, Lord, to be those in a world that seems to be getting darker by the minute, to be faithful with your word. To not cower, not to be afraid. But Father, to proclaim it boldly. Again, I go back to what Romans 10:14 says. How will they hear if there is not a preacher? Lord, you've put a heavy task on our shoulders. Cause us to be faithful with that task. Cause us to go and proclaim, to herald the hope of Jesus Christ to this dark world. So, Father, I pray, Lord, as we leave this place and go on mission, whether that be at the place that we work, the restaurant, our neighborhood, family members that don't know you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you use us in a mighty way. And God, let it be said by those that are behind us that we were faithful. Cause us, Lord, to realize that there is a cloud of witnesses cheering us on, saying, don't falter, don't sit down, don't stop running. But they're saying, be faithful, keep your eyes on the prize, and run the race. Father, we just thank you again that you are a faithful God, that you have never left us, you'll never forsake us. And God, we thank you for that promise that is like that comforter on a cold winter's night. So, Father, go with us as we leave this place. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We will continue on with Romans next Sunday.